ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 25 Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Text 1. Shri Shukaha Uvacha Indraha Tada Atmanaha Pujam Vijnaya Vihatam नृप गोपेभ्यः कृष्ण नाथेभ्यः नन्द आदिभ्यः चुकोप ह। श्रीशुक उवाच इन्द्रस्तदात्मनः पूजा विज्ञाय विहतां नृप गोपेभ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो नन्दादिभ्यश्चुकोपः। श्रीशुक उवाच इन्द्रस्तदात्मनः पूजा विज्ञाय विहतां नृप गोपेभ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो नन्दादिभ्यश्चुकोपः। श्रीशुक उवाच इन्द्रस्तदात्मनः पूजा विज्ञाय विहतां नृप गोपेभ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो नन्दादिभ्यश्चुकोपः। शुक उवाच आत्मनः पूजा ज्ञाय विहितां नृप भ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो शुकोपः। इन्द्रस्तदात्मनः पूजाम् विज्ञाय विहतां नृप उपेभ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो नन्दादिभ्यश्चुकोपः। श्रीशुक उवाच तदात्मनः पूजा विज्ञाय विहतां नृप तेभ्यः कृष्णनाथेभ्यो
Nandadebhyascha kopaha.
Ladies, Matajis, please.
Shri Shuka uvacha. Indrastadatmanaha pujam. Nandadebhyascha kopaha. Shri Shuka uvacha. Indrastadatmanaha pujam. Vijnaya vihatam nripa. Gopebhyaha krishna nathebhyo. Nandadebhyascha kopaha.
Shri Shukaha uvacha.
Shri
Shukadev Goswami said, Indraha, Lord Indra,
Tada,
then,
Atmanaha,
his own,
Pujam,
worship,
Vijnaya,
understanding,
Vihatam,
diverted,
Nripa,
O King Parikshit,
Gopebhyaha,
at the cowherds,
Krishnanathebhyaha,
who took Krishna as their Lord,
Nanda Adibhyaha,
headed by Nanda Maharaj,
Chukopaha,
he became angry.
Translation.
Shukadev Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord. Purport. At the very beginning of this chapter, Shukadev Goswami reveals the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. Indra was frustrated because the residents of Vrindavan accepted Sri Krishna as their Lord. But the simple fact is that Sri Krishna is the Lord, not only of the residents of Vrindavan, but of all that exists, including Indra himself. Thus, Indra's petulant reaction was ridiculous. As the common saying goes, pride goes before a fall.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणम् वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्य वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण Very happy to be back here again in Radha Gopinath's temple discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. The episode now is a very nice episode. Of course, every episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very nice, but the Govardhan Leela is especially famous. In the previous chapter, chapter 24, we have seen how Krishna induced the residents of Vrindavan to worship Govardhan Hill and give up the worship of Indra. This chapter is entitled Krishna Lifts Govardhan Hill. When Indra is provoked by the worship of Govardhan Hill, unrightly so, into anger, he lets down fierce torrents of rain upon Vrajabhumi, and Krishna effortlessly lifts the Govardhan Hill to offer complete protection to his dear devotees, the Vrajavasis. So the previous chapter described the worship of Govardhan Hill, and this chapter will describe the lifting of Govardhan Hill. In the very beginning of this chapter, Shukadev Goswami mentions how Indra became enraged because the Vrajabhasis, giving up his shelter, had now taken the shelter of Govardhan Hill, and thereby they had actually taken shelter of a little boy, Indra. And as Indra is going to continue his rant later on, he is going to speak harsh words about Krishna. Vachalam balisham stabdam agyam panditamaninam krishnam martyam upashritya gopame chakrurapriyah. He is going to say that this little talkative, foolish boy, arrogant boy, thinks himself no end of himself. He has offended me. The Brajabasis have listened to this little impudent boy who doesn't know anything, who is foolish, he is ignorant. He thinks himself to be a great pandit or a scholar. Agyam panditamaninam. And these Brajabasis are also foolish because they have taken shelter of an ordinary human being of the earth planet, Krishna Martim Upashritya. And therefore the Brajabasis have displeased me very greatly. Krishna, of course, remains always the Nath or the Lord of the Brajabasis. In this verse, it is said, Gope Bhyaha, Krishna Nathe Bhyaha. So all the Gopas and the Gopis, they considered Krishna as their Nath. Nath means Lord, but in a very unusual kind of way. When we consider somebody as our Lord, we look at that person in a mood of awe and reverence. We consider that person to be very special, yes, but we deal with that person in a very respectful way. Considering a person to be our Lord automatically brings in a kind of distance between us and the Lord. It cannot be so intimate because there is that conception that he is the Lord, the Master, and I am the servant. This is generally the conception. But in Vrindavan, the special feature is that even though Krishna Nathe Bhyaha, which means the residents of Gokul consider Krishna to be their Nath or their Lord, still there is no compromise in the sense of intimacy. This is the mood of Vrindavan, where everything is very full of madhurya or sweetness, as opposed to aishwarya, which means opulence. When there is a display of opulence in other places, the mood of intimacy immediately diminishes. When Krishna first arrived in Mathura, after leaving Vrindavan, having performed his pastimes there for about 10.5 years or so, and then he killed Kuvalyapir, the intoxicated elephant. He killed Kamsa. Along with Balaram, he killed many, many powerful wrestlers and soldiers and so on. Devaki and Vasudev, the parents of Krishna, were struck with wonder. And they started thinking of Krishna as God, whereas previously they thought of Krishna as their son. When this conception of Godhood entered their mind, that conception that Krishna is my son immediately vanished. And there was a mood of awe and reverence. And they folded their hands and said, Oh, Krishna, well, you are God. And Krishna said, Oh, no, this is, everything is spoiled. So then Krishna again let loose his yoga maya potency, and this mood of awe and reverence was immediately dissipated from the hearts of Devaki and Vasudev. And once again they began to think of Krishna as their dear son. And then they embraced Krishna and Balaram, kissed their heads and so on. So even though Devaki and Vasudev are very exalted devotees of Krishna, even though they are parents of Krishna, and who can be parents of Krishna except somebody who is extraordinarily exalted and specially chosen by the Lord Himself? But still, we see that the moment they started considering Krishna as their Lord, there was a diminution or there was a diminishing of their mood of intimate and sweet love for Krishna. That madhurya was diminished with the onset of aishwarya. But with the residents of Vrindavan, it doesn't happen like that. Even though they consider Krishna as their Lord, and they address him as their Lord, even as their Savior when they are in difficult times, but that mood of sweetness and intimacy, that madhurya, is never compromised. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga Tvannatham Gokulam Prabho. So when Krishna Indra comes again, as we will read in this chapter, they will go, "Oh, most fortunate one, Twannatham Gokulam Prabhu, you are the Lord of Gokul. We consider you our Lord and Master." So there are numerous references like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam of how the residents of Raja addressed Krishna as Natha, or they considered him as Nath, Lord, as is mentioned in this verse. And that is why, incidentally, the form of Krishna in which he lives, Govardhan Hill, Giridhari, is also called as Sri Nathji. So here we have Sri Gopalji in his pose of lifting Govardhan Hill, because he is considered as Nath in this chapter in particular. So he is Sri Nathji. He is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. So that mood of sweetness was very, very strong. But in a very peculiar way, that sweetness increased with Krishna's display of opulence. Even though they went through their phases of bewilderment, as we will see in the next chapter, which is entitled Wonderful Krishna. When the gopas and gopis, after the Govardhan Leela is over, now it dawns upon them like a thunderbolt. What happened actually for these 7 days? During the period of these 7 days, they were in utter complete bliss. Not a single thought crossed their mind, because now they were able to see Krishna 24 hours a day for 7 days physically. Normally, of course, Krishna used to sleep at night. Yes, he used to slip out in the middle of the night for his Rasalila pastimes. That's a different story. But in the daytime, in normal course, the average Brajavasi would see Krishna only when he was departing for the forest in the morning. And then when he would come back in the evening with the cows. The cowherd boys, of course, would be with him all day, playing, frolicking in the forest. But the older gopas and gopis would see him only once or twice in a day. But here in the Govardhan Leela, they saw him 24 hours a day, non-stop. And they were gazing at him with affectionate eyes, probably thinking that Brahma has made a mistake in creating our eyelids and our blinking of our eyelids and eyelashes. So they were gazing 24 hours with great love at Krishna. In their love, some of the gopas also thought that Krishna may become very tired. He is just a tender little boy of 7. How is he lifting Govardhan? So they went and offered some help with their sticks and so on. But overall, they were just completely overpowered with bliss. No other thought crossed their mind. They didn't start thinking too much. They didn't analyze too much about what was going on. As it happens generally, we go through a particular experience and then we go through it, we analyze it only afterwards. Then we start thinking, what was it that happened? So similarly, the Brajabasi started analyzing, now what is it that happened in these 7 days? They start discussing among themselves and they get bewildered. Then they come to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj pacifies them, "Don't worry. Garga Rishi had also, Garga Muni had predicted this about my son. So he will display the opulences of Narayan, not to worry." And somehow they become pacified and they go away. But even through this period, their conception of intimate love never reduces. It is not that there is no Aishwarya in Vrindavan. This is a misconception. On the contrary, Vrindavan displays more opulence even than Vaikuntha. But the beauty and the extraordinary feature of Vrindavan is that not just in spite of the opulence, but the more the opulence that is displayed by Krishna, the sweetness of the love of the Brajabasis for Krishna increases more and more. It doesn't diminish their intimacy. And this we will see exactly in this pastime of lifting of Govardhan Hill. Now, there are different types of devotees. We have already distinguished the love of the devotees of Vrindavan from the love of the devotees of Vaikuntha, who worship Lord Narayan in a mood of awe and reverence. There are also others who worship Krishna not so purely, but in a mood that is mixed with some self-interest. Prithak bhavam bhinnadrik, as Kapila Dev says in the third canto. The love of Vaikuntha as well as the love of Vrindavan, both are pure. They are situated on the platform of prema. But the love of Krishna that is generally found in this material world, even in the higher planets, is mixed with some material motivation. So even the demigods like Indra are afflicted with this contamination. And they are devotees of the Lord. But even though they are devotees, they want to serve Krishna, but they also have their own material desires. They want some prestige, they want some power, they want opulence, they want material enjoyment. So Krishna gives them a high position. So to take a high position is very dangerous in the material world, even as devotees. Because there is every possibility that we may get astray. Because these things are very tempting, very powerful. The sway of Maya is very strong in this world. So even as devotee is struggling with the modes of nature, we have to be very careful that when there are these opulences, power, position, etc. offered, one may get bewildered and distracted. When Indra can get distracted, who is such an exalted soul, such a special personality that he has been personally chosen by Krishna to be the king of heaven, to be his chief representative in the administration of the universe, the temple president of the universe, personally chosen by Krishna. So he naturally is a very special person, and we should not offend him. Rupa Goswami has stated very clearly, one of the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, of devotional service and practice, is that we should not offend the devotee, or the demigods of the Lord, because they are devotees. It is an offense to consider them supreme and to worship them in that mood. It is also an offense to disrespect them, because they have been personally nominated by Krishna to be in their position. They are not ordinary souls. They are exceptionally pious souls, great devotees. But Krishna often teaches the greatest lessons through the greatest of personalities, because such lessons can be very powerful. If lessons are taught through the medium of very, very ordinary people of this world, who have nothing exceptional about them, who are not noticeable, then it doesn't have that kind of impact on the minds of others. But when Krishna chooses extraordinarily powerful controllers and people of this universe like Brahma, Indra, Shiva, then the lesson is very telling. The impact is very great. So therefore, Krishna has utilized Indra's state of mind to give us a very big lesson. We learn lessons from the experiences of others. That's a very powerful way to learn, the best way to learn. One doesn't have to go through these experiences oneself. Now, Indra is a demigod, a devotee of the Lord, and still he has to go through this emotion where he starts getting angry because somebody else is worshipping Krishna. How can a devotee feel angry when another devotee is worshipping Krishna? And that is because of pride. And pride is such a thing, it makes us forget. Such is the peril or the risk of getting a high position. Sometimes it is said, why are there asuras in this universe? And the answer is that if asuras did not exist, the demigods would become asuras. This is an important point. So Krishna has given the asuras just to maintain the balance of power with the devas. Because the devas, when in power, they can become like this. It's only when the asuras are there, there is strong competition, there is fear from the competition. Therefore, there is shelter of Krishna. The difference between the asuras and the devas is that even though the asuras, who are always proud, and the demigods are sometimes proud, the difference is the demigods know when to take shelter of Krishna. When they're in trouble, they run to Krishna. The asuras don't run to Krishna. They would rather take shelter of their own strength and intelligence and prowess and so on. But the demigods go and take shelter of Krishna. Similarly, as ordinary devotees living in this earth planet, in this material world, we want to do things for Krishna, but many times we find other devotees of other opinions, or the society has other opinions, and we may sometimes get frustrated. We want to do these nice things for Krishna, but there is this opposition, there is this view, there is that counter view. And then there is a bureaucracy, we have to go through a body, we have to go through a committee. And sometimes our views may not be accepted, but actually that's good for us. Sometimes there is criticism of what we think, and that criticism keeps us in check. Imagine a situation where there is no one to criticize us. We'll have a free run. Then the conditioned mind will just lead us on to do things which may not be good for us. But because we fear criticism, because we fear opposition, in the face of opposition and criticism, we mellow down and we realize, well, I better think carefully before I do this. So therefore the asuras are there in the creation to keep the demigods in check. This is Krishna's arrangement. These are my devotees. They are meant to administer this universe. They are there to do the management of this universe. But then such is power and position in this world. Who knows what will happen to their consciousness? So I better keep these people, these asuras, there in place. Every now and then there will be some threat, and the demigods will be afraid and come back to me. Trahi, trahi, please rescue us. So this is one of the wonderful things of Krishna's arrangements, how it's inconceivable. Therefore Kunti Maharani has of course cautioned us. Janmaishwarya Shruti Srivir Edhamana Madhapuman Naivarhatya Vidhatumvai Tvamakinchana Gochara. That for one who has high birth, Janma, who has Aishwarya, a lot of wealth, Shruta meaning lot of high education, learning and so on, Shri is beauty. When one has one or more of these four qualities, it becomes a cause of pride or intoxication. Edhamana madaha puman. Madaha means a state of intoxication. Madness. Actually in Sanskrit the word pride is also called mada, because pride is a form of madness. Because it's in a complete state of illusion. A mad person doesn't understand what he is doing, who he is, where he is. He loses a sense of balance. He loses a sense of reality. He lives in a different world all by himself. We see this with the great dictators, political dictators, kings, and those who have a lot of these material opulences. They live in a world of their own. They are out of touch with the reality of their of this existence. That is what pride does. And pride can come by any of these factors. High birth, opulence and so on. And Indra has all of this. When one has this, Kunti Maharani says, Naivaharatya vidhatum vai tvam akinchana gochara. One cannot helplessly call out the names of Krishna. Because one thinks that one is not helpless. One thinks that one is powerful, one is capable, samartha, saksham. One is capable and one is fully empowered to take care of his or her own problems. In Sanskrit, there are three terms which are degrees of the same thing. You know, you have positive, comparative and superlative. Yes, in normal grammar also. Good, better, best. Or sweet, sweeter, sweetest. Right? So this is called taratamya nyaya in Sanskrit. Taratara means better, tamya means best. Like for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks of guhya jnana, confidential knowledge, which is knowledge of the impersonal Brahman, normal Brahma vidya, spiritual knowledge. Then there is guhya tara jnana, knowledge that is more confidential, that is knowledge of the Paramatma or the Super Soul in the heart. And then there's guhya tama jnana, which is most confidential knowledge, knowledge of Krishna as the Supreme Person, the most beautiful, attractive person to whom who one must love. Idam te guhya tamam pravakshamina suyave. So this guhya tamam jnana is knowledge of Krishna as a person. So there is positive, there is comparative, there is superlative. So similarly, in stages of madness also, there is positive, there is comparative, and there is superlative. So there is mattaha, there is pramattaha, there is unmattaha. So mattaha is an ordinary state of intoxication. Of course, from the sober point of view, the state of intoxication is not ordinary. That itself is something abnormal. But when it comes to comparing intoxicated people, this is the beginning, the first stage, positive stage, mattaha. So mattaha means when one is intoxicated, one blabbers, one speaks nonsense, one does anything, but maybe one is not so dangerous to others, because he has not yet got so intoxicated. He is just blabbering, you know, harmlessly. And he may do a little tantrum or something, but it's still okay, somewhat within the limits of control. Then there's pramattaha. Pramattaha, one becomes more intoxicated with pride. It's the degrees of pride. And one becomes even more mad. One loses one's sense of balance. One becomes reckless in one's behavior. One is willing to do anything and anything. Dissolute. One becomes very dissolute in one's behavior. No question of morality or ethics or any principles, because that madness has become very strong. And then unmattaha, one becomes insane. So insanity is a stronger phase of madness. So this is how pride progresses. It starts with madaha, which is like an intoxication. So mada and mattaha, in some kind of connection. So therefore, in the stage of pride also, one becomes proud, one becomes more proud, one becomes extremely proud. In that stage of extreme pride, one becomes completely bewildered. It is insanity. And it can afflict anyone, even a great devotee like Indra. And just see, this lesson is repeated again and again. It's not that Indra is unaware of Krishna's position. He has learned from Govardhan. Now we see later on in the 10th canto, even after he has learnt about Krishna's position. Should pay a fine. Some donation. Whoever phone rings should give a donation to the temple. Actually, I did that once at Vrindavan, because there's so frequently phones ringing all the time. Before I began the lecture, I announced that this is a warning. Anyone whose phone rings in the class will have to give donations for the Goshala. Because the Goshala devotee was there, so I saw him. Then I made him sit next to me. And I knew, despite this warning, phones would ring. So then I had already had him ready with the receipt book and everything, because I knew it would happen. And I, sure enough, some phones did ring, so I made them pay 500 rupees on the spot to the Goshala. So it was good fundraising for the Goshala. We were a little short of money anyway at that time, so it was quite good. So Indra, being such a great devotee, also could succumb to this, that he could become like this, he could be in that stage where, having after going through this Govardhan Leela, as time goes on, then Krishna moved on from Vrindavan to Mathura, from Mathura to Dwarka. And in Dwarka, another Leela happened. Now, that Krishna's pastimes were accommodated within roughly 125 earth years, from the time he appeared in Mathura to the time he departed from this world and returned to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, 125 by the reckoning of the planets of the demigods is insignificant. It is nothing. It is just like a few moments passing by, a few minutes. So from the time that Krishna chastened or chastised Indra and broke his pride in Vrindavan to the time that Krishna was in Dwarka and he performed this pastime of killing Narakasura and going to Swargaloka Amravati and taking the Parijat tree from there, only a few minutes of Indra's time had elapsed. Now, as it happened, all of you know this pastime. Krishna went to Prag Jyotishpur. He killed the Mura demon, killed Narakasur, who was his own son, through Bhumi Devi, when he came as Varahadev. And he rescued the princesses there. He sent them to Dwarka, later married them. And there was also the earrings of Mother Aditi, the mother of the demigods. There was the umbrella of Varuna. And Krishna retrieved these because Indra had come to him begging, please rescue these things. This Bhaumasura has stolen all these things from us. So to comply with Indra's request, Krishna went there. He retrieved these things, killed Mura, Narakasura, etc. He took his wife Satyabhama atop Garuda, went to Amaravati, not in Maharashtra, in Swargaloka. And then he returned these things. And at that time, Satyabhama wanted the Parijat tree, because Narad Muni had once gifted the Parijat flower to Rukmini Devi. And it was a heavenly flower, not found on this earth planet. Satyabhama also wanted that for herself. So Krishna took her with him to Swargaloka. And she said, okay, here is the Parijat tree. And Satyabhama, she was quite feisty by nature, so she took away the Parijat tree without Indra's permission. And Indra became very annoyed, so did the other demigods. And Indra actually began to fight with Krishna. There was a battle. And Krishna subdued Indra easily. And Indra again submitted himself at the lotus feet of Krishna. But just see, from Indra's point of view, only a few minutes had elapsed after he had been humbled by the Govardhan Leela experience. And again, when Krishna wants to take away the Parijat tree, he stops him and actually fights with him in battle. And Shukadev Goswami expresses his annoyance at this. And he says, Aho suranam cha tamo dhik adhyatitam. Adhyatam. He says, Jasti aho or jasti alas, suranam cha tamaha. Just see the darkness of ignorance that envelops even the demigods. Dhik adhyatam, to hell with their opulence. Shukadev Goswami, the very next verse, he condemns the demigods, because this opulence actually puts them in ignorance. And then he says, just see, Indra, he doesn't recognize his own Lord. And here he's again fighting with his own Lord, when Krishna is actually the Lord of the entire creation. And he's opposing him from taking the Parijat tree. So Shukadev Goswami expresses his dismay and his utter astonishment at how this can afflict even exalted demigods like Indra. So these are examples that Krishna is deliberately using. So we should be careful of Rupa Goswami's instruction to us. And even after this, we should not recklessly or carelessly criticize Indra. Krishna is making his own devotees examples for us to learn, so that we may be very careful in our situation. So it's already 9:15. It's the time. We will stop here with a concluding comment that Indra will learn very carefully. He will also be exposed to much nectar. Even through this pride, he actually gets to witness Krishna's glories. He gets the opportunity to actually come to Vraj. He didn't come to Vraj before this. Now he actually descends in the holy dust of Vraj and he sees Krishna in Vrindavan and offers him his respects and obeisances. So Indra was greatly benefited by Krishna's mercy. So in that sense, if you see, Krishna's offense was worth the while because he got the chance to come to Vrindavan. But that doesn't mean that we should try to get Krishna's mercy by doing something like that. Pride in particular is very, very blinding. The Sanskrit word is andha. And one can become blind due to many factors. When we become blind, we don't see reality. One can become blind because of greed. Lobhandha. One can become blind because of lust. Kamandha. One can become blind because of envy. Dveshandha. One may become blind because of illusion. Mohandha. So all these are in and of themselves very powerful blinding forces. But nothing to compare with Madandha. The blindness that comes out of pride, the intoxication of pride, of position, and so on and so forth, the control. So this is a very devastating form of blindness that can cause ruination. So the conditioned souls, time and again, are instructed through examples like this about the perils of pride and how it is important as devotees for us to cultivate qualities like humility and so on. Thank you very much. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, because of this complication of pride, or so does it mean that one should kind of avoid taking positions which bring pride in course of their either temple-related or work-related activities? Because you know, even without the position, it's a struggle for us.
Yes. If that is what we are instructed to do for the service of Krishna, we should be willing to do it. We shouldn't be attached to doing it, to taking a position, neither should we be attached to not taking that. We should be attached only to doing what is most pleasing to Krishna. If it is pleasing to Krishna that we should be taking on a high position which is risky, so should we do. But we should be dependent on Krishna to protect us. And we should do what is necessary and use our good intelligence to see that we can protect ourselves as well by following the proper precautions, keeping ourselves humble, chanting our rounds properly, and so on and so forth. So someone has to do it. Positions are there. They are necessary. Even in the universe, someone has to be a demigod. Someone has to be Indra. So also for the service of Krishna, someone has to take positions. It's inevitable in this material world. So we should neither be attached to it, to taking it, hankering for it, neither should we be unreasonably averse to it, if that is what Krishna wants. If we are instructed to do it, well and good, we are ready to do it. But we are dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master, of the Guru Parampara, of the Vaishnavas, of Krishna, in the execution of that responsibility. Okay? Any other question? Yes. Pass the mic behind.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I wanted to ask you that when we study about Indra's life, it is very disheartening episode in the sense that when it can happen to him, it would surely happen to us. Like Prabhuji said that, you know, we don't have a position, still every moment our mind brings up something or the other that would create pride or illusion. We are always blinded. So the scary part is, Maharaj said, after this lifetime gets over, we might become demigods, and then this movement will get over. By the time we'll come back to Earth planet. So it is a very, what do you say, we want to be sincere, we want to have a right attitude, but it is very tough because we are not controlling our mind. It is in the control of three modes. So overall, what is it that we should do? We try to follow the instructions given.
The solution to not becoming a demigod in the next life is to go back to Godhead at the end of this life. When His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture in Calcutta temple one time, he was talking about this pastime. And after the class was over, he was mentioning, because he had to speak of Indra in a certain way, because that's what is mentioned here. Then he said, oh, I spoke about Indra because, you know, he might be my next temple president. He was just joking, saying that, you know, generally because Bhagavad Gita says that next life you may be born in a higher planet if you leave your devotional service incomplete. And when you go there, then Indra is there. So, okay, so you gave a class criticizing me. So the solution to that is, better don't go to Devaloka, better we just go back to Godhead, become pure devotees in this life. But yes, the problem is very severe. There is a saying in English, even a pauper is proud of his penny. One doesn't have to be wealthy to be proud. Even if a pauper can be proud of his penny, what if someone is a millionaire? What kind of pride can come in potentially? So, yes, that is possible. But as I mentioned in the course of the talk, these examples are extreme examples. And extreme examples are necessary to drive home the point. That is why Krishna uses his most exalted representatives to drive home the point. Brahma or Indra, exalted demigods. Shiva. And on the other hand, you have even pure devotees, like the Brajabasis, whom he uses as examples, puts them constantly into distress to demonstrate to us, to teach us lessons. So Krishna teaches the world lessons through extreme examples of his best devotees, his best representatives, so that we can be very, very cautious, so that it remains in our mind how precarious our position is in this material world and how careful we must be. If it wasn't for such examples, prominent personalities, we might have taken it lightly. So we have to be just cautious, that's all. And follow the process very nicely. Any other question? Last question.
Connection. Today I heard you chanting. You moved me emotionally. Tears came in my eyes. Which I, till yesterday, I interacted some Prabhuji's. I was just asking. I started chanting. One Prabhuji bought a mala for me and gave me. He bought from his money and gave me also. Which I chant, but my mind is not there. But today you made me emotionally, tears came in my eyes, I shared with one devotees also. Very often it is said, your karma, your action, determine your happiness, your security, your sadness. Our experiences says many people are sitting here. Experience teaches so much, which I'm sure many of you can share with my views. Don't you think very often our action is determined by our emotions rather than emotions like fear, happiness, insecurity is determined by action? Since I am fearful, my actions will be different than I am fearless. Since I am happy, my action would be different than I am unhappy. Since I am insecure, my action would be different than I am secured.
Yes, thank you. It is a good question. You see, according to our acharyas, there are different categories of people according to the motivations for work. According to what motivates them to work in this world, they can be separated into different grades. There are primarily four motivations for working for anyone in this world. At the lowest level, there is fear. One may work or do a particular action out of fear. Or one may work for reward out of greed. Or one may work out of a sense of duty. Or at the highest level, one may work out of love for God. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a description of the three modes of material nature. Sattva guna, rajagun, tamagun. Fear is a characteristic of the mode of ignorance. So an actor in the mode of ignorance is considered the lowest. He is driven by fear. Similarly, the mode of passion regulates greed, the sense of reward. So a person who goes for reward is situated primarily in the mode of passion. And then you have working out of a sense of duty. That is done by people who are situated in the mode of goodness. But then you also have those rare souls who are motivated to act in this world out of a sense of pure love for Krishna, for God. So they are on the transcendental platform, and therefore they are considered the highest of the workers. A normal conditioned soul is motivated by any of the first three levels of work. Sometimes one, sometimes another, sometimes a third. So one has to try to move up. And principally, if one takes shelter of Krishna, becomes a devotee of Krishna, then one's prime motivation will be love. And even if we are not situated on that platform of love ourselves, because that is our primary aspiration, we will be as close to it as possible. And when we reach the stage of perfection, we will reach that stage. So now, yes, people in general are driven by fear and greed and so on and so forth. These are natural failings of the conditioned living entity. But when we take to devotional service, then all these things get gradually rectified. We become purified and we move up in the scale. So please continue coming to this temple. Many wonderful devotees here. Please associate with them and make advancement in your Krishna consciousness. Okay, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.